Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other toppings, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
This top 10 fantasy football receivers edition of the Sports Gambling Podcast is presented by WinBet. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WynNBet.com and download the app today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. That's propswap.com, promo code SGP. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Sign up at underdogfantasy.com with promo code SGPN and receive a free $25 entry to use in Best Ball Mania 2 for a chance to win $1 million. And of course, don't forget to download the SGPN app in the App Store or Google Play Store.
This is Jerry Glanville, and you're listening to SGPN. Let it ride, brother.
Fucking shine box.
Ooh, welcome everyone to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan, real money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer dog?
Oh my, we're so close to football. We're so it's unbelievable how close we are. We're literally, as every moment we speak, we get closer, metaphorically and physically.
This is not just a metaphor. We are counting it down. We are in the in the dead heat of summer here, doing our top 10 fantasy football preview series. We gave you the top 10 fantasy football tight ends. We gave you the top 10 fantasy football quarterbacks. And now it is time for the top 10 fantasy football receivers. Ryan, of course, as we get ready for the top 10 fantasy football receivers, want to make sure we shout out WinBet, the presenting sponsor of the Sports Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WinBet, man, they do it all. And by that, I mean give you sweet gambling action. Get started today. Get that special offer up to $500 risk free. Are you kidding me? Risk free, it's for me. Terms and conditions apply. All you got to do is get the details at WynNBet.com. Download the app today. The excitement of Wynn Las Vegas in the palm of your own hands. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and games. Generous promos, odds, and parlays are all happening right now at one place. That's right, WynnBet. If you want to win big, WIN, you got to go to WynnBet.com. Let it ride.
Appreciate you letting that finish. Yeah, the excitement you have when we when it comes time to talk about pass catchers, Sean. Yep. Not quite as excited when the people throwing the ball, but pass catchers, tight ends, wide receivers. And we even had a little off air. You seemed earlier we were discussing the order of our series. Mm. And just purely out of nothing other than how the positions were listed.
Yes.
But running back or wide receiver, what is a more important position in today's fantasy football world?
And I see the case you're making. Running back, you have a smaller margin for error. But to me, essentially, you need
hyper fragile.
You need more receivers. Thus, you need to do to me, they're more important. Figuring out who the top 10 are in that, you could make the other side of the argument is obviously you have less room for error on the running backs. But I was saying I thought receivers were more important. Maybe save them for last. You said we'll do whatever you want, Sean. So, but I conceded, and we're doing receivers first, and then running backs to appease you, Ryan, because you were saying running backs more important.
I think it's more important to get running back right early. I think it's more important to get a wide receiver right in the middle range.
Yeah.
So perhaps like if we're really boxing it into a top 10 conversation, maybe more important for the running backs, but overall for the wide receivers, hell yeah, obviously we live in a PPR world. Although, you know, some places still like the half
come on
PPR underdog looking at you. Some people are
full point PPR full
savages
go.
who seem to play standard only. What I mean, come on, imagine.
I don't even know what my rankings would look like.
I mean, this is like a Colby Dant thing, right? Like, I remember when the slot receivers and the 1 yard catch that shouldn't be worth 1.1 point.
I like the full point PPR. Maybe it's just because it helped me win $200,000 on DraftKings. But I
do you know why you like it?
Why?
Because you're a skilled fantasy player.
Oh well, thank you.
Ryan. And what does a skilled fantasy player want to do? Expand the player pool as far as possible.
Yeah.
All right. So
make things more
interesting. Square sees this and is like, "Wow, well, you do this, you make more players relevant. It's easier to shuffle players in and out." That's true. Deeper bench is the neutralizer there. But the reason a sharp player, a plus EV player likes PPR is you expand the player pool, thus making your knowledge of wide receiver 69 more important.
Nice.
Thus making your deep knowledge of who the third string running back on the Philadelphia Eagles might be more important.
Kerryon Johnson.
So I think that's the answer to the question. Standard is for people who like to flip coins. Bottom line.
Put them in their hole, Ryan. Let's get it going.
Just pissed off a bunch of like 50 and 60 year olds.
What are you talking about?
Do I go first?
Yes, you go first. Who's your number 10 fantasy football receiver for 2021? Right.
So this was almost Terry McLaurin because I am super high on him. This was almost Michael Thomas. Because
there are some really good options.
I like Jameis Winston too much to not have. I realized I was too low on Michael Thomas, but I'm going Allen Robinson. And purely like this guy is a quiet DeAndre Hopkins level when it comes to producing, no matter how good or bad the quarterback is. So whether this is Dalton, this is Fields, I don't really care.
Yeah.
I think he is a guy that's going to produce. And I think you're going to. Putting him at 10 means like I have gotten him a bunch, which I backed into a lot of field stacks and Fields commit stacks because I end up with Allen Robinson because in the third round, it's hard for me to pass him up with some of the other guys dangling on the board at that time. So number 10, I think Allen Robinson, we can talk about his target share. We can talk about a potential emerging number two in Mooney. But there's always a potential other guy, and you can talk about how the tight ends might steal some red zone opportunities. I think you bottom line, you look at the quarterback situation there last year, and it was pretty piss poor. Even if you're not super high on Justin Fields, it's got to improve a little bit. Even if you're not high on Dalton, I think it's going to improve a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, Dalton can, if there's one thing Dalton can do, he can throw to a big body receiver with a huge catch radius. So I really like Allen Robinson this year. I think again, 10 puts him in the range where I'm going to get a lot of shares of him. And so I don't know if you've got Allen Robinson into your top 10 as a Penn State guy.
No, I didn't. I mean, there are a number of guys that I like that are just outside the range that you just nailed here. Michael Thomas at 11, Allen Robinson at 12, Terry McLaurin at 13.
Okay. We're all in the same bucket there then.
No. I mean, and I was going back and forth. Like there are a bunch of good receivers, as you mentioned. Like there's so many good receivers out there because, you know, every team is running three receivers as their standard 11 personnel. Yeah. It's easy to get these high PPR outputs from certain receivers. And again, that brings me to my number 10 receiver. We always see one rookie get into the top 10 fantasy.
Always.
Maybe not receivers, but I think
I like doing it.
I think Devonta Smith at number 10.
It is. I didn't see it coming. I really didn't see it coming.
Why would I not put him in? He's a PPR machine. He's gonna be the number one target on a team that's throwing a bunch.
Yeah, I mean, I like the gamble.
I don't. It's not a yards thing. It's not a touchdowns thing. It is a catch thing.
Manufacturing plays, right? You drafted him. You get him the ball.
No, I mean the front office, Howie Roseman, Nick Sirianni, is a receiver specialist. Like the entire Philadelphia organization has come around this one guy. You know, everyone talks in fantasy. It's about volume. This dude is going to get a shit ton of volume. And the more I think about it, maybe even not, you know, I should go back and maybe pull Goddard down a step or two. Cause the more I think about it, the more I think is just Devonta Smith is going to get a shit ton of easy catchable balls. And he's going to be a PPR machine. So, again, it's just about identifying volume, and I don't see him not having massive volume.
God bless your love of the Eagles. Wide receiver 40 for me, which is probably too low. I've told you this. I'm lower.
That's pretty crazy.
I'm lower on him than I think I should be. But yeah, I just at this range, I can still get a guy who I've seen be a number one wide receiver at the NFL level. So, but I really didn't see. I think
the way offenses are run these days and the way we saw all these receivers get drafted in the first round and the way that people go out of their way to work them into the system, who do you think would be the rookie receiver to get into the top 10? Because again, I like Jalen Waddle as a prospect, but I don't like his situation. Who do you think would be the quarterback?
I think the obvious choice is Chase. Just because they already have the rapport that there's going to be a plus fantasy opportunity in that in Cincinnati. I think the dark horse is Bateman with Baltimore, just because there's other guys on the team already. And if he's as good as advertised and Lamar can connect with him, you know, he's the kind of guy that could score 10 touchdowns. But to your point, we're still believing it is July. So cheers to the hope. My objective counter argument. I wonder, to your point, I do wonder if there are going to be enough targets to carry him into the top 10.
No, and maybe that's.
But there's so much unknown. Like you're right. You can hit it.
Also,
same thing I said about
when
Goddard.
I put these lists together, I like to throw in a couple surprises, a couple guys that aren't in the top 10. Because shout out to the Echo Chamber. Because everyone's 10 guys are the same guys. I think it's fun and refreshing to throw some new guys in there, because ultimately the 10 preseason guys aren't the 10 preseason guys at the end. Much like with Best Ball or a Millie Maker, I like to take some shots on finding guys that aren't in your typical top 10 list.
And to me, I think when you look at guys who finish in the top 10 overall in fantasy, and you look at the targets they're going to need to get there, you kind of have to draw a line right at 8. They're going to need to average more than 8 targets a game, unless you have some sort of anomaly touchdown season. Yeah, and
I think he's going to have 7 plus, just from what I've heard about the offense.
So then he has the opportunity, and I think another guy I didn't.
Now maybe they end up spreading it out way more, and it kind of is a different look. But they're planning on running a true West Coast offense.
Yeah.
So he's going to get wide receiver screens, bubble screens, and I think even some jet. They were practicing a bunch of jet sweep option stuff. So
yeah. And then my other, you know, if you're going to go left, my counter would be like, well, then, you know, if his A dot is super low, then his opportunity also becomes a problem, right? Like you want to make sure his depth of target's not sinking into like the can't be valuable range. But again, I appreciate you surprising me with a Philadelphia Eagle on the list. My number 9 guy, maybe the opposite. If you saw these two guys walking off the bus together, you would assume Devontae Smith is just here to hold DK Metcalf's bags. look, my hot take was almost putting Tyler Lockett in this over DK Metcalf, because I have this real weird feeling this year that I want to have lots of Lockett. Now I'm higher than market on Lockett. I think having him in my top 20.
Lockett did have 100 catches last year and 10 touchdowns.
Well, and something I wanted to bring up was, again, back to those average targets, couple guys who fall into that range that people definitely have outside their top 10. Robbie Anderson, very close for me, 8.5 targets a game. Tyler Lockett, 8.3. more than DK Metcalf. Obviously, we can explain the difference because of Metcalf's big playability, his size around the red zone. I think this is right around where market has him. I think this is right around where he's being drafted, right? Late second round pick, maybe. Someone you pair with a stud running back. So I assume you have him in your top 10 as well. We yes. also like the, I mean, just from a pure, like, which wide receivers do you maybe like a little bit more from a stack perspective because of that big game, yeah, like ceiling?
And we
Metcalf's is up there.
We hit on it as to why I liked Russell Wilson. I think I gave him number 5 for the fantasy football quarterback.
Six.
Is because the more I dove into their offense and what they expect them to do, it's going to be some quicker passing stuff, and that probably even favors DK over Lockett a little bit because he's more of a possession guy than Lockett. I still think you can make a good case for Tyler Lockett as well, but yeah, I have DK Metcalf all the way up to number 4 because the more I'm doing the research and diving in, the more I'm higher and I'm like, I got to get me some more Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf stack. My number 9, again, probably off your board, Ryan. This is another zag when everyone's zigging, is Diontae Johnson. I am very high on Diontae Johnson. Again, this is a strictly PPR play. He got an insane amount of targets. He was 6th in the league in targets last year, 146 targets. And if you know anything about Big Ben and that Pittsburgh offense, what are the two things that jump out at you? One, they have an offensive line that still has issues. Two, Big yes. Ben can probably only take so many more tackles. And what's their workaround? We saw it last year, the quick passing game. And Diontae Johnson really benefited from that. And he even had some drop issues. And they would take him out and then they would put it back in and he would still get a ton of catches. This is strictly from just like a total number catch perspective. You know, he had 88 catches last year. I think he could have like 110 this year. And touchdowns kind of keeping the same. He had 7. I think he can kind of maintain that. But I think he's just going to get a huge jump in the easy catch range. So well, it's not necessarily a yardage thing, but full point PPR, I think he's going to have a massive year.
Yeah. And it's actually startling. He only had 5 games where he didn't have double digit targets last year.
Yeah.
And it was like 1, 2, 3, 4, and 7 targets. So like his duds were absolute duds, but when the rest of the time it was 10 plus targets. I think this angle is just, there's a little bit of Big Ben in here that maybe pushes him down the board for me.
Yeah. Well, and then I struggle with a lot of this, like how much do you factor in the quarterback and how much do you punish them? You know, and the same reason why Joe Burrow wasn't in my top 10 for the fantasy quarterbacks. And I don't have any Bengals receivers in for this. You can make the case pretty easily, but for me, that ACL injury is still a big thing. I know everyone says he's going to be fine. I just, yeah. From a guy who watched Carson Wentz's career and seeing that firsthand ACLs experience. Matter. Well, and Carson Wentz, he tore his ACL, I think at a pretty similar time to Joe Burrow. And again, it takes a little bit to recover from that. Like Wentz wasn't ready game one. Like he didn't start until week 3. So the fact that everyone thinks that Joe Burrow is going to be a go full board game one in a 17 game season, I'm skeptical. I think Joe Burrow and the fact that he got it this early is shitty for him and for Bengals fans. Cause I think it's going to hurt his development. So we'll see.
One thing to note on Diontae Johnson before we move on, I think it is interesting how you can, he's still going about the same time as Chase Claypool. And you know, I don't have him as high as you do, Sean, but I definitely like him more than Chase Claypool because I think Diontae Johnson, let's say Ben gets hurt, I think Diontae Johnson is still probably part of the offense because of the type of routes he can run.
Yeah.
And I think I like him where he's going for sure. I mean, what is he going in the wide receiver 25 to 30 range?
Yeah. So. No, he's a real steal, but do you really want to stack him with Ben?
Anyway, the thing I was going to say to support your claim, he was 5th in the league in average targets per game last year. So 5th.
Yeah. He's going to get a shit ton of targets. I may have said 6, but yeah, he's just going to get a shit ton of targets. For me, it's just that simple.
All right. 8 wide receiver rankings. Give me Justin Jefferson.
Okay.
as much as it, I guess you could say, you know, he had a great year, let's fade him. There's no real reason to. I mean, I think the Vikings offense or defense could get a little bit better. Sure, maybe that takes some opportunity out of it, but they're going to be an offense that puts up points in games. And I think what Justin Jefferson showed you last year is he's not really guardable.
Yeah,
and I'm pretty high on Adam Thielen too, to be honest with you.
Well, like, and that's I'll skip ahead because I have Justin Jefferson 7. Okay. But it's interesting. I think you can make a case that he even does more. Like if you look at the touchdown splits between Thielen and Jefferson, Thielen had 14 touchdowns. Jefferson only 7. I don't know. I mean, just eye test. It feels like some of those. If 21 between them, would you be surprised if we had Jefferson 12 and Thielen 9 or 13 and 8 or?
And here's why. I think when you dive into Jefferson, you see a guy who the numbers underneath the numbers tell a even better story.
Yeah.
Second,
like nothing about his year felt outliery.
He was second to Davante Adams in average depth of target average yards per route run, which means he's running down the field, and Kirk Cousins still slings the rock. And so Justin Jefferson, you know, your touchdown regression point, maybe Thielen still gets used around the red zone a little bit more because of the routes he's running. But I think just the fact that Jefferson's running these deep routes, his ceiling every game is so high. And then, you know, he had a phenomenal season last year. Receivers tend to take a little bit more time to develop. He's already there. So there's no reason to try to get cute and not take him if he's sitting there you know, in the second half of the second round in your draft.
No, and I definitely have some best ball where I have Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, and our buddy Kirk. And I don't want to tip my hand, but the more I'm diving deep on the running backs, I think I'm going to make Dalvin Cook my number one running back. Ooh. Simply out of a process of elimination, because like every other, every other one of the first round running backs, like I have a giant red flag that I don't feel great about. And Dalvin Cook ends up being the outlier there.
Real quick, Justin Jefferson only averaged 7.8 targets a game, but still was able to produce that many yards because of those targets. Kyle Rudolph gone. That's a decent amount of targets. And if they don't go to Irv Smith,
yeah, it'll be interesting because the coaching staff went out of their way to say Irv Smith's not going to take over that Kyle Rudolph role. We'll see. Again, talking fantasy football, and it's all about finding that value. And the same applies to gambling, which is why you got to check out PropSwap.com, and you got to use promo code SGPY. Well, of course, we appreciate you, you know, so they know we sent you over there. But PropSwap.com, you get up to $500 in bonus cash. Your EV skyrockets when you're getting bonus cash. Literally,
yeah,
you know, it's bonus. You're already in the green. And then the sweet thing about PropSwap, you're buying and selling sports futures. So again, you got a 100-to-1 MVP bet. You want to unload, lock up 40% of that, sell it on PropSwap, or the other way. You think you're ahead of the market, someone's got a ticket up for grabs. Best part is you can bid them lower than what they're offering. So they're offering, you know, 100-to-1 ticket for 40-to-1. And you say, you know, maybe you'll take 20-to-1. Maybe they need some money. Maybe they're on a bit of a cooler. They need some cash. They need to go liquid. Perfect time for you, the experienced value hunter. Again, it's like the stock market, but for degens only. PropSwap.com, promo code SGP.
Value liquidators.
Value liquidators. All right, so 7.
I'm on 7 now.
Okay, should I do my 8 or do you want to do your
7? Oh yeah, go with your 8.
My 8, Ryan, and this is gonna anger you, but
why would it anger me?
Number 8, Calvin Ridley. I'm just there's a lot of Calvin Ridley steam. I have a feeling you'll be talking about Calvin Ridley down the line here, but my Calvin Ridley is only 8 take. One, I don't think Matt Ryan is going to be quite the quarterback without Julio Jones. Arthur Smith should help the offense.
Yes.
To me, it is an eye test with the arm strength of Matt Ryan.
Okay.
And certainly you could use some of that same logic against Big Ben. I would counter it by saying like Pittsburgh's already aware of that and they've built a team around it. and routes around it, and they set up a quick throwing offense. Calvin Ridley, I think, is just going to have trouble being the number one receiver. He's never been that in his career. Might have some issues. Again, I still like him at number eight. One other little nugget from doing stuff in the schedule is that the Atlanta Falcons essentially play 10 road games, because you know the NFC teams play 9 road games, and then they also lose one of their home games to a London game. So they're playing 10 games this year on the road. I think that's eventually going to catch up to Matt Ryan and his arm, and thereby the passing offense of the Falcons. Okay. And Pitts, I think, will take some of his targets. That being said, that's why I have him at 8. I still like him this year, but I'm not. A lot of people have him in that top 3, and it's just not. Doesn't make sense for me.
Well, where did he finish last year with Julio?
With Julio?
I'll tell you. He finished as the let me flip this over to PPR. I'm sorry. Fifth receiver. So I just think, you know, Julio was there. He didn't play a ton of snaps. I get that. Again, the defense may be slightly better. They're not going to be a good defense. I think we've said too much, or at least I believe too much, that Arthur Smith may have had something to do with the efficiency of that Titans team. And if he brings any of that to this Atlanta team, like, they weren't always an efficient team. And so if they can combine that with the need to still be a volume team, like, the, what do they say? The roof is the ceiling. There is no roof on Calvin Ridley this year. And I think that's why, you know, I made him my number one. But we'll get
spoiler alert. Ryan.
Spoiler alert. I'm sorry, but I couldn't let you 8. You're out of your mind.
Who's your number 7?
Davante Adams. This is another one. I feel like similarly to how we ranked Aaron Rodgers. On one hand, if Aaron Rodgers is playing and you know he's playing, you're taking Davante Adams maybe as the number one receiver. If he's not, Davante Adams is still a beast. He still led the league in average yards per route run. He still is an absolute beast around the red zone. And I think if you're are you taking him? You have the first pick, Sean. You've taken Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
You're sitting there at 24. Davante Adams is there. You're 100% taking him, right?
Yeah. I mean, as we're recording it, I'm taking him. I'm probably even not dropping him down as much as other people would, even if Jordan Love is the quarterback.
The volume is going to be.
I certainly
there.
Would put him down, but if Jordan Love is the quarterback next year, do you think he's not getting 149 targets? He got to 149 targets in 14 games.
That's what I was going
to
say.
I mean, if Jordan Love's my starter, I'm not throwing the ball less to Davante Adams.
He led the league in average targets per game at 10.6, and that's not changing, period. So
now where it's going to hurt him probably if Jordan Love plays is the 18 touchdowns. But I don't even think he gets that.
Regresses anyway with
Rodgers. I
mean, you can't project him for more than like 10 to 12 touchdowns. I have
Davante Adams, and we'll just get into it, as my number 5. I still think Aaron Rodgers is coming back. I still think he's going to be a big part of the offense. Number 5, you know, just sounds about right for me, right in that middle of the top 10. I'm not scared to draft a Rodgers, Davante Adams stack.
You're going to get it cheap now. You might as well take a little bit of it, right?
Yeah.
Cause it's going to go from a second and like ninth, 10th round to a first and a sixth.
He led the league in fantasy points, even in 14 games. So even with his missing a couple games, he still led the league, and obviously led in per game as well. So even saying he cools off a little bit, because they did seem like they were going out of their way to get him the Rodgers the passing touchdowns for the MVP, and maybe they try to do that again.
If it works, like, why would you go away?
Yeah, I don't know. So
it's a handoff at that. Like, what's more reliable, Aaron?
Yeah, the 1 yard Davante Adams touchdowns
just automatic,
and maybe a couple fall off, but he still should be. And maybe I'm low on him on 5 if I think Rodgers is going to be back. And I just think the Rodgers 48 touchdowns, it's just hard to have that season again. But
if Rodgers,
anytime you play the regression card on this Packers team and the Packers offense in particular, it hasn't looked good. It hasn't looked good for Aaron Jones.
It's just what receiver walked in the building and is going to take away any targets from Devon? No one.
No.
And so I think for me, if Rodgers is 100% back, he's probably sitting right next to Calvin Ridley as someone I'd take in the first round after those top tier running backs are gone.
Yeah.
All right. My sixth guy.
Yep.
Do you need to tell us your seventh
guy? I've done my seventh is Justin Jefferson. My fifth is Devontae Adams. I've not given out my
six. All right. Six for me is AJ Brown. I've seen people much higher. I almost feel like putting him here is going to make it hard to get him on my teams. Cause he seems like a pick that is pretty sexy, like right around the turn, first, second turn. But I mean, you saw it last year. We like Ryan Tannehill.
I like Ryan Tannehill.
Julio Jones is probably helps AJ Brown, at least when he's playing, because he adds an element of decoy. And you know, I think the question of with AJ Brown is how much did Corey Davis matter, which is strange. But Derrick Henry's still there. They're sure they lose Jonu Smith, but they bringing in Julio, I think, fixes all of that. The question to me is, does the offense? You know, it's the same thing. Does the offense regress at all just because of the coordinator change? I think again, it seems like sometimes guys are just good at calling plays in game. And when you watch the Titans games, I think the forte was making in game adjustments, because you saw these games where they had massive comebacks. They completely scrapped their game plan for something that was completely different. And if they can continue to do that, I mean, again, this team's going to be losing in some games, and they're going to be chucking it. And AJ Brown, again, another guy that just looks like Devontae Smith would be holding his bag for him coming off the bus.
Yeah, I'm going to get to AJ Brown in a second, but my back to my number six, I have DeAndre Hopkins, who again, this is, you're just looking for volume, right? More or less. And 160 targets last year, 115 catches. I mean, this guy just,
and that was year one with Kyler, no real offseason.
Yeah. And we came in, I know, and again, to my own detriment, I was super high on Josh Allen, but I thought Steph Diggs, maybe they'll take a little bit to figure out. That historically was the rule, was that, you know, receivers changing positions, you wanted to fade them. You know, it takes a little bit, and especially with the COVID shortened offseason, these guys should struggle, but we didn't see that with Hopkins or Diggs. In fact, they both had awesome years. And worth pointing out, I mean, he had 115 catches and only six touchdowns. I think that touchdown to catch percentage can even out a little bit in his favor. I think him getting 10 touchdowns this year is certainly possible. So, and he played a full 16 games. The guy's catch radius is insane. For a guy like Kyler, who deals with sight lines and, you know, little munchkin guy back there, like having problems to like angle it and whatever. DeAndre Hopkins is a blessing. I mean, he went up and got that Hail Mary. Like, the guy is just a baller. At number six, I mean, again, a lot of these guys, you could make a pretty easy case to put them in the top five, top four here. But yeah, I got D Hop number six.
Yeah, what scares me, I mean, I like the angle that he has more time with Kyler.
He is in your top 10, right?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about him now because he's my number five guy. We basically have AJ Brown and DeAndre Hopkins swap, but I think the volume is there. A little concerning that he still was able to disappear with like 10 target games last year and only show up with 4 points. But I think just in general, there's no reason to think his volume is going to go down. It does concern me the style of offense, because in theory there are a lot of targets on any given play. Again, you're just getting too cute if you're dropping him much lower than this. And honestly, like, he was a guy early in the summer, I kept asking you, why am I able to take DeAndre Hopkins at the end of the second round? Why am I able to pair Christian?
He's kind of a guy who's just, slipped under the radar, I feel like.
Well, and I think maybe because there is a certain garbage element to some of his volume. But I think if you like Kyler and you like this team to maintain a certain level of competitiveness, DeAndre Hopkins is going to get double digit targets again. He averaged 10 last year. It's hard to see that going away. So yeah. I made him number five. Sean, you want to talk more about AJ Brown?
Well, I'm up to my number four.
Okay. So AJ Brown was your five.
No, Devontae Adams was my five. DK Metcalf was my four.
Jesus Christ.
We haven't gotten to my AJ Brown yet. Ryan.
I see. You said you save him for later. My bad.
Yeah. No, it's all good. DK Metcalf. I feel like we hit on a lot of reasons why you like DK Metcalf. Again, he is just an eye test guy. The dude is just
Well, the volume is the concern. That would be the only like, hey, he's going to have to get it in the end zone a bunch.
Yeah. And he was the fifth fantasy football receiver last year on only 83 catches, which is pretty crazy.
Big play.
When you got, you know, when you got guys like Steph Diggs with 127. But again, I think
he's also like young. He's getting better.
Yeah, it feels like peak DK Metcalf time. You know, and he was certainly the number one fantasy receiver there for those like first 5 weeks where Russ was really cooking. We talked about it in the quarterback episode, but I think there's like a middle ground between that red hot passing offense and then what they kind of cooled off to, that it'll be a little bit more even throughout the season. And that's why I have DK Metcalf ending up in the almost the same spot as he did last year, maybe slightly higher. Maybe that's just me being a fan of DK Metcalf, but I just think the opportunity is going to be there. And again, I think with them switching to like a quicker passing offense, I think it's only going to benefit a guy like DK Metcalf. I mean, we saw that, you know, his burst, I mean, chasing down that, was it Patrick Peterson to kind of save that game for them, although they ended up losing. Or wait, what happened with that Seahawks? They ended up winning, yeah, but not covering. Or
you're right. Now I know we lost our bet.
Yeah. That's all I care about.
I want to say they lost the game, right?
Yeah, did they?
And then DK Metcalf ran in an Olympic qualifier and got smoked, and everything went back to normal. The track community was pissed off that a football player was
running. Even let him.
How dare they,
the Cardinals won in overtime, 37-34. Yeah. Man, that was a crazy ass game. But we see the run after catch ability for DK Metcalf. So if they're looking to,
Sean, we get it. We've all seen him with his shirt off.
That dude's ripped and a good receiver.
All right,
what do you got, Kramer?
Trivia time. Number four receiver.
Sure.
You touted that Devontae Adams earlier had 149 targets in, yep, only 14 games. This guy had 147 in only 14 games. Who was he?
In last year?
Last year. He's probably not in your top 10.
Ooh.
Plays for your Los Angeles Chargers. Four straight, 97 catches. Keenan Allen.
Wow.
I mean, it's interesting because I feel like I end up with him in the FFPC every year because I'm like, why am I able to take this guy in the third round again? Like, okay, give him to me. And you know what? I needed something that was a little bit different in my rankings because they're a little chalky. But Keenan Allen,
100 catches, 8 touchdowns.
Again, we like the offense.
Yeah.
We're high on Herbert, we're high on Eckler. Why are we not high on Keenan Allen? We learned in Hard Knocks he can block, so he's on the field almost every down. And Herbert is on record talking about how much he loves throwing to Keenan Allen because he's always in the spot that he needs to be, and he's always open.
In the National Football League, Ryan.
Chris Hogan somehow got the nickname 7-Eleven because he was always open in training camp.
What?
Keenan Allen is always open.
Who gave Chris Hogan that nickname?
I don't know. Remember, I feel like someone was caught. Maybe I'm confusing him with another white receiver, but Keenan Allen always open. And if you asked me like, oh, really? You're going to draft him at the beginning of the second round? You bet. Yeah, absolutely. And here's why I put him over DeAndre Hopkins. Here's why I put him over AJ Brown. I honestly trust his consistency. When I went and looked at DeAndre Hopkins' game log, it blew my mind that he was able to have games where he received 10 targets and only scored 4 fantasy points. Keenan Allen doesn't have games like
that. No, Keenan Allen, Ryan, as they say in the business,
he will put up 10 points in a drive. And it's like, sometimes he is a
professional wide receiver.
He blocks, I think gets open.
The only thing you could really throw shade at him for is maybe some injury stuff, age. He feels like he's kind of getting to the end. But to your point,
got hurt last year. Still average.
Yeah, I mean, he got hurt and he'll probably get hurt again this year to some degree. But if he doesn't, certainly top five is well within the range. And I would say this too, like as a reason to like Keenan Allen is who's the young buck taking his targets.
Well, I like Mike Williams in fantasy
because he's going again, so he's late. He's got injury issues. Like there's no clear, like number one, like Jalen Guyton, like who is going to steal his targets away? Hunter Henry is no longer there. Eckler
does. Cook. I mean,
no, that's right. What I'm saying. Like I think,
and you want to hear a crazy nugget. Keenan Allen had two games where he received 19 targets. And you want to talk about ceilings. Like his floor is like 8 to 10 targets.
Yeah.
And his ceiling could be just completely takes over a game. So again, I'm definitely higher than the market on this one. I think you can safely draft him up until like the beginning of the third round without like you can if you're drafting like 1, 2, 3, you can probably take Keenan Allen with your third pick. And that to me is crazy because again, how many of these guys are that automatic? And you know he's going to be a big piece of that offense. Like you said, who came in that's going to take targets away?
No,
nobody.
Ryan, as a man who likes a good hot take and shaking up the echo chamber, that I love that.
You left him off your top 10. That's the hot take to me, Sean.
I got him 15 and I'm trying to figure out how to get him high. Don't let him see that though. He is one of those guys that would get real pissed if he saw he responds to personal disrespect. I think we're already up to my number three.
Yep.
And we've already hit on this guy.
Who is your four? Just so we're sure.
DK Metcalf.
There we go.
AJ Brown is my number three.
Oh shit. Imagine this. And Ole Miss just keep had both those guys on the same team.
How did, and were they not better?
Fucking sucked.
AJ Brown again. We kind of already built the case for AJ Brown. I think Julio being out there creates more opportunities for him. In the same way, I think Ridley. You know, I'm not quite as high as you on Ridley, but I think playing across from Julio Jones is gonna help him. They gotta. What are you gonna just leave Julio Jones out there single coverage like? And again,
he wears the number because of Julio Jones.
Yeah.
Like that's going to matter.
There's good chemistry.
Give him the number too.
I think Tannehill, I'm high on him. I'm high on AJ Brown. I'm high on Julio. Like I really think this, and you got Derrick Henry, the play action off of Derrick Henry makes these guys jobs so easy. I don't agree with the Falcons owner who said it was a win-win trading Julio Jones. I still can't wrap my head around it because if you're keeping Matt Ryan, you're still in win now mode, and trading Julio Jones is not a win now move.
Yeah, we got to. I mean, Titans minus 2.5 week one against the Cardinals.
Hashtag Titan up. We've given the Titans teams and fans a bunch of shit over the years, but I mean, especially fantasy wise, I got to do a deeper dive on their defense.
Sean, you have some homework to do, and that's get more stacks of Tannehill and AJ Brown.
No, definitely, and even throwing a little Julio for a super stack. But I mean, AJ Brown again, professional wide receiver.
Why? I mean, before the trade, he was a guy that was in consideration for the top spot for me.
Yeah,
I think.
No, and you know, Corey Davis, Julio Jones, I feel like their target share is going to be the same, but his looks are going to be better because of Julio Jones being there.
Hopefully.
I mean, if you're a defense, would you rather game plan for Corey Davis or Julio Jones? It's kind of a leading question, but maybe you think Julio is on the downward side so much you'd rather prepare him than Corey Davis. I think that's a bit of a stretch.
I'm kind of a Corey Davis fanboy, but it's probably harder to game plan for Julio if he's healthy. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Number three, Tyreek Hill. I mean, I am I mad at you if you take him in the first round, in the second half of the first round to pair with Mahomes later in best ball? No, of course not, because his ceiling is just astronomical. Am I going to end up with a lot of Tyreek Hill in season long? Maybe here. I don't know. I mean, he seems to go anywhere from 6 to like 16, depending on the league. I definitely don't like him ahead of the other guys here. And even in the Keenan Allen Tyreek Hill decision, to me is a tough one because. Cool. To me,
that's where I got to get my oven mitt on this take, Ryan. That's where it gets a little too hot.
Again, it's a floor ceiling conversation. But all of that being said, we've seen Tyreek Hill there's not many guys who at three touchdowns is like a thing every time he steps on the field. So Tyreek Hill number three. I mean, you're going to add to it now.
But I got Tyreek Hill number two. I mean, again, that offense, he's just going to get his. You know, him and Kelsey. And again, they're kind of in that situation where are you worried about who else are you worried about stealing targets? Byron Pringle, Mecole Hardman.
Yeah. The two cute squad that you can stack the Mahomes in like the 17th through 21st round.
You can overthink it, but Tyreek's getting his, And we haven't even talked. He quietly gets involved in the rushing game too. 123 yards as a rusher, two touchdowns on the ground. I mean, that's not nothing.
Yeah, I guess like, does it matter that Sammy Watkins is gone? Like, did that
no, do I don't anything? Think so.
It like it, the fact that teams can maybe key more. I don't have a problem. I mean, you either take him as a top three receiver, or you don't take him.
I mean, 15 touchdowns. He's basically getting you 15 touchdowns, 15 games. He's averaging a touchdown a game. You don't need to overthink it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only thing I throw back at you is I've heard you tell me that Kelce is a top tight end option. I've heard you tell me that Tyreek Hill is the number two wide receiver option, and Mahomes is only the is a lowly number seven quarterback.
Well, Ryan, you get more. Yeah, I mean,
I understand how it works. I'm just saying
this is fantasy
correlation. You know,
well, yeah, this is fantasy, and you get more points for receiving touchdowns than you do passing touchdowns. Thank you. Right?
Okay.
So you could see why there could be a difference there. And if, say, a quarterback runs in to the end zone, that's more points than passing into the end zone.
I'm saying it's strange for you to be reversely correlated.
Okay,
to be
but I don't
lower guess, than market on Mahomes and on market well, with the other guys.
Jerking off motion is what I think of the market. Like, come on. I think he's going to have a good year, Mahomes, but you can get 40 touchdowns and not be a top five fantasy quarterback now. Like, that's the world we live
in. Okay. Again, it's fine. I was just pointing it out. Number two for me.
I don't think he's top five because he's not getting the rushing yards or rushing touchdowns. I think he's going to throw very well.
Again, this is the theme this year. You are all in on the run, the value of the legs in the quarterback position.
If the top 10 fantasy quarterbacks don't have guys who run the ball, then it's going to be a bad year for Sean in fantasy.
Nice. All right. All in. All right. My number two. No, I mean, you got to be all in on the theory. I just think there's going to be some guys smattered in there. Stephon Diggs, my number two. You know, I'm a little lower than market. Jerk off motion on Josh Allen, but I think it's hard to be on Diggs. Just again, you know, you have the upside of a quarterback willing to sling the rock, and then you have the upside of clearly a receiver who can just do unbelievable things. Pretty crazy that the Vikings were able to let him go and just slot in Justin Jefferson.
The slot, how's the slot?
And then you factor in that I don't think anything happened on this team that's going to drastically affect his target share. Even if you like a guy like Gabe Davis to kind of be a fun play, that's more of just a couple big plays here and there, taking some home run shots. So I don't see the guy on this team that's going to see the consistent targets. I guess Cole Beasley would be that guy. Maybe Zach Ertz if they pull off a late trade. So again, you know, when you look at the targets last year, right after Keenan Allen was Diggs at 10.4 per game, played the whole season. His lowest target output was 6 in week 3. So the consistency was there too. Again, he's the number two guy. I think you take him in the end of the first round if you're not certain about those running backs and you don't think twice about it.
Ryan, we got a shout out. Underdog Fantasy, of course. Underdog Fantasy doing the Best Ball Mania 2 drafts where you can win $1 million playing best ball. And it gets better than that. If you use the promo code SGPN on your first deposit, a free entry into Best Ball Mania 2. Stay tuned to our YouTube. We've been doing a ton of drafts. And it's just been awesome. I mean, best ball is the best way to play. Underdog has a bunch of other stuff on there as well. Little NBA, little MLB, kind of whatever you want to get into. They also have like crazy three-man fantasy drafts. It's a D-gens only paradise. So make sure you check them out. Underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. Ryan, my number one fantasy football receiver for 2021 is the aforementioned Stephon Diggs, 127 catches. He beat the number two receiver by 12 catches, and he was 10 touchdowns behind Davante Adams. I think Stephon Diggs only had 8 touchdowns. Yeah. I think there's a world where he gets 12, 14. I think he could get, with all his targets, he is another guy identified as far as like touchdown to catch to target ratio. He seemed like he was due for some touchdown improvement. And again, I'm just
positive regression.
I'm just super high on the Bills offense, Josh Allen. I don't see any reason for them to slow down. Like the Brian Daboll, no. He didn't go anywhere. They're bringing it all back. Their offensive line should be solid. Yeah, I mean, you know, the Dolphins defense is decent, but like feels like they're still going to be able to eat a bunch. And even, you know, Josh Allen had a little bit of a shoulder thing going on midseason. He played through that pretty well. And Stephon Diggs, I mean, you nailed it. There's just no reason not to love Stephon Diggs. And I think as crazy as his numbers were, he's in his peak. He's second year in the Bills offense. Like it's very easy to build a case that he improves on his monster year just by getting that touchdown count up a little bit. And I think that's very realistic that he has double digit touchdowns. And if he does, I think he walks right into the number one fantasy football receiver.
I mean, that's the only limiting factor. And again, consistency, he didn't have too many outputs that were just flat low, only putting out single digits, I think five times last year. So again, it's almost automatic. And again, like I apologize. He put out single digits zero times. I would even go as far to say like he might have the highest floor. Like he was my number one guy before the Julio trade. I brought Ridley up. I'm glad I did. Speaking of which, my number one guy, who I think they're very close. You know, I could say 1A, 1B, but I think both of them have such a tremendous week to week floor combined with the obvious ceiling. The floor is higher than Tyreek Hill, in my opinion. The floor is similar to Keenan Allen, but the ceiling is much higher. The floor is similar to DeAndre Hopkins, but the ceiling is so much higher. And to me, that's how these two guys differentiate themselves into that top tier. Probably the two guys I would be most comfortable taking in the first round. I think once you get to Tyreek Hill, I would much prefer taking him on the turn if I have a late first round pick. So I think once your running backs are out, and maybe you're a Kelsey guy, but once your top running backs are out, I think it's fair game to take Ridley or Diggs.
Yeah, especially if you're towards the end of the first and you can bring it back with another receiver, or, you know, take care of your running backs a little bit there. I see the case for Ridley. Obviously I wasn't as high, but
I think he has the Diggs potential to have a similar volume as Diggs.
No, he had 143 targets. So if he gets up to that 168 targets that Diggs has, and he picks up a couple more touchdowns, because he only had nine, you know, only nine. But I mean, you look at some of the top guys last year. Tyreek had 15, Tyler Lockett had 10, DK Metcalf had 10, Devontae Adams, of course, the massive 18. So if he can bump up into double digits there, the case for him is pretty easy. So
over his last 16, he has 1,450 yards, 10 touchdowns, and 95 catches, and that includes Julio Jones being on the team. So like,
yeah. And again, my thing is, I think Julio is helping him succeed by getting the number one cornerback and some attention in those situations. But you could also say he's also eating up opportunity.
Efficiency goes down, volume goes up.
It might be net
zero gain. Yeah, I just think you can, because of the style they've always played and the potential Arthur Smith bump. I do like that. That's the bet I'm making. That's why he's number one. Like if the efficiency stays there and the volume goes up, then he goes into like Devontae Adams range, where it's just like,
no. Oh. And I like the, I don't know. Everyone just like runs the same formula and just spits out the same sheet. It's like, come on, take a little risk, let it ride. We say here,
where do you have, because I think we're both pretty low on it, but where do you have Amari Cooper?
Oh, let me pull up my full rankings. And of course, make sure you check out over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Just drag that little fantasy tab and check out our rankings. We're going to be doing rankings, projections. Shout out to Adam Pelletier, fantasy football editor, for putting it all.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah. And I had him at a certain, you know, I'm going to do some more adjusting here, because I did my first round and I was kind of like, you know, I just basically moved down a couple guys. Amari Cooper should have been one. I have CeeDee Lamb 22, Amari Cooper 23.
Yeah. And honestly, like
I just bumped them down again, 'cause I moved up Tyler Lockett over them.
Yeah. Yeah, I probably need some updating too.
That's what's so fun about these rankings. So check it out on sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Updated rankings. We got our top 10 fantasy football running backs dropping soon. So you want to stay tuned to that. And obviously check out the other positions. We've already hit on quarterback, already hit on tight ends.
Yes, sir.
This was receivers. Make sure you download the app SGPN. We got some massive football contests coming that you can only enter exclusively in the SGPN app. And throw us a nice review. Take 10 seconds out of your busy day to write a nice little review. And again, app Please. Reviews are available every Monday, Merch Monday. We will be giving out a SGP hoodie to a random quote unquote review of the app in the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store.
Thank you for participating well in done, the Sports Gambling Podcast.
For the Sports Gambling Podcast, I'm Sean Stacking the Money Green, and he is Ryan.
You never spell team with an I.
Kramer, let it ride.